presents Kenneth Williams, Derek Nimmo, Clement Freud, and Andre Melle in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and welcome once again to Just a Minute. And once again, I'm going to ask these four clever exponents of the game to try and talk for just 1 minute on some unlikely subject that I will give them without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject. If one of the other three think he's guilty or she is guilty of doing this, they may challenge by pressing a buzzer which they have in their hand. If I agree with the challenge, they will gain a point and take over the subject. If I disagree with the challenge, whoever is speaking will gain a point and keep the subject and continue. That is the way we play, and that's the way we score. And let us begin the show this week with Andre Melle. Andre, the subject is admirable virtues. Can you talk about admirable virtues for 60 seconds, starting now?
The virtue that I think is most admirable is moral courage. That is, if you are a woman and invited to appear on Just a Minute, and you have the guts to stand up to Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud...
Derek Nimmo, why have you challenged?
She's sitting down.
She is sitting down, so I will give you a bonus point for a witty challenge, because I know that she was speaking metaphorically of standing up to somebody in a game, and therefore, Andre, you continue with the subject with 47 seconds left. Admirable virtues starting now.
And you dare to insist that you buzz your buzzer before Clement Freud?
Oh, Derek Nimmo, you've challenged.
You have different buzzers.
No, she said buzz your buzzer. There was a buzz, the verb, and the buzzer, the noun. So Andre gets a point because I disagree with the challenge and continues with the subject with 43 seconds left. Admirable virtues, starting now.
And Derek Nimmo challenges you very unfairly.
Clement Freud, why have you challenged?
Reputation of Derek Nimmo.
No, she said Clement Freud and Kenneth Williams before, didn't you?
And Derek Nimmo.
You did. Oh, she's honest. That's it. That's very fair. Give her a round of applause for honesty. Modern courage. There, you'll see is where the audience sympathies lie the next time there's a tricky decision. Who challenged, by the way? Clement Freud. Clement, you gain a point, and there are 41 seconds left for admirable virtues, starting now.
Modesty compels me to admit that I have these. In particular, I am...
Absolutely driving could so
think, I simply couldn't think of a single admirable virtue.
Hesitation.
Yes, once he tried to think of his own admirable virtues...
I thought it summed up my admirable virtues very well.
Very, very
well. Why, you should call it hesitation.
Yes. Well, all right. So, Andre, you gain the subject back. I agree with your challenge. And you have another point, and there are 32 seconds for admirable virtues starting now.
Being a bit rude, I think this is really to be admired. This saves you going to...
Derek Nimmo, why do you
challenge? Admired.
Admired...
When moral courage. With the moral courage.
Yes, she did talk about the virtue that she admires most, moral courage, right at the beginning. You're quite right, Derek. Well, listen, you gain a point, and you have 27 seconds for admirable virtues starting now.
If I have a fault, which I haven't, it would be modesty. But in fact, I am extraordinarily virtuous. Do you know, I get up every morning, rising from my knees because I've been at prayer through the long night hours, wash my hands because cleanliness is next to godliness, and then I set off on my task through the day, patting small children on the head, talking to little dogs as they walk along the street, giving them the occasional bone, perhaps a biscuit if they look hungry, taking tramps home.
That's touching and moving, and I'm surely totally incorrect description of yourself gains you not only 1 point for the subject, but another bonus point because you were speaking when the whistle went, Derek, and you now are the leader. Kenneth Williams, it is your turn to begin, and I'm delighted we're going to hear from you.
Yes, so now I've been waiting for it.
And I think Ian Messer has thought up a subject specially for you. It's sex appeal. You got a bit cold.
No, I'm fine.
Oh, good, good. I'm sure you can go magnificently on this subject. Just think about yourself, Kenneth, and talk for 60 seconds on sex appeal starting now.
Well, this is almost impossible to define because it depends largely on your proclivities. What you find exciting in the way of sex. I think the best way is to define by example, i.e. I have sex appeal. Friends have said to me after a long acquaintanceship, it was as much as I could do to keep my hands off you. You really get me throbbing. And, of course, with my repeated performances, both on the stage and off the stage, I have had...
Andre Melly's challenge.
Yes, he would have.
What do you play for, Kenneth?
No, I can't play to entertain. I'm interested in scoring. No, I'll give it all the points. I'll give them away. I'm not bothered.
No. Well, anyway, Andre challenge. Andre.
Well, it was repeated performances. So it was repetition.
No, he wasn't. He repeated the word stage, but not the word performance.
Repeated performances on and off the stage.
It's a sort of...
Yes, but repeated performances is not being repetitious. The word stage was repetitious. You said repeated performances. He didn't repeat that word.
Repeated.
Yes, but that's a phrase. It's not repeating the word, which is the way we play the game.
Oh,
you repeated the word stage twice, and that would be repetition. So, Kenneth, you have a point, and you keep the subject. And there are 20 seconds left for sex appeal starting now.
Throughout the age.
Clement Freud, you've challenged.
He's not saying it's a point. I am.
And all that happens is you're given a point to Kenneth Williams.
Oh.
That's such a great man.
Go on. Kenneth keeps the subject, and there are 18 seconds left for sex appeal starting now.
Many people have associated this with the hirsute, and they've said, if you're airy, you've got it. People will come after you. And the same thing, of course, does apply with Samson and Delilah, because she is reputed to have cut it off with the idea.
Well, you talking about Samson there. What a strength there. You started with a subject, you finished with a subject. That was strength, it was sex appeal, it was panache, it was success. Derek Nemo, your turn to begin. The subject is staying happy. Can you tell us about staying happy in just 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, of course, that was the part I first played when I was in Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. And ever since then, I've wanted to perform in exactly the same role, because staying happy seems to me to be the most pleasant part in that particular show. If we were going to cast it here this afternoon, for instance, of course, the lovely lady here on my right would play the lady who was named after the snowflake. What?
Kenneth Williams, you're
charming. The lovely lady on my right would play the lady. Two ladies.
Yes, there are two ladies. You're quite right, Kenneth. Yes, well done. So, I agree with your challenge. You gain a point, and there are 40 seconds for staying happy, Kenneth, starting now.
The only way anyone can stay happy is, of course, to commit abnegation as opposed to self. This has long been realized to be the cure. What do you know? Why are you all looking at me? I'll tell you why we were all looking, because of your wonderful phrase, abnegation apropos self.
I don't think any literary crank would have written such a phrase in a book, and you spoke it with great style.
Well, you've got to keep going, haven't you?
It was utterly unfair. It was beautifully done, and we loved it. And you're going to keep going. I'm going to ignore the challenge. I don't know what it was. And you have 27 seconds to continue with staying happy, Kenneth, starting now.
Unhappiness is most of the time born of selfishness and the regard for one's own person. We should be continually thinking of others. How can I submerge my own trouble in the problem of some other person?
Derek Nimmer, you challenge.
The addition of person.
Yes, there was, with a hell of an hesitation. So, anyway, well tried. They enjoyed the little homily, I'm sure. So, Derek got you that time. I agree with the challenge. Derek, you gain a point. You take over the subject, staying happy. 4 seconds left, starting now.
Mushrooming makes me more happy than anything else in the hell.
And, Kempner's, why do you challenge?
It was completely indecipherable.
I know. What was it? Mushrooms?
Mushrooming makes me more...
He was absolutely right. It was mushrooms.
Yes.
Well, I couldn't understand a word.
Why do you challenge, Kenneth? Oh, deviation. Because you couldn't understand. I'm afraid you can't do that. Derek has a point, and there are 2 seconds left for staying happy starting now.
When one goes out on the golf links to pick up...
So Derek was speaking, but only just then when the whistle went, and he's now crept into the lead at the end of that round. And Andre, your turn to begin. Witchcraft. Can you talk to us about witchcraft for 60 seconds, starting now?
If you are a witch and you want something nasty to happen to people, you have to think up a little rhyme like, may Ken and Clem refuse to speak and Nicholas Parsons fall asleep and Derek Nimmer.
Derek Nimmer, you challenged my
hesitation.
Yes, but, oh, it was so lovely, wasn't it? How did it go on? Have you got it all worked out or not?
Derek no. Stammer, be infinite, and then I'll win this just a minute.
You see, she paused, Derek, because she was building for something. But anyway, it was a legitimate challenge, and you gain a point. 31 seconds left, Derek Nimmer, for witchcraft starting now.
If you're indulging in witchcraft, you should form yourself rapidly into a coven. That means 13 people, 12 of whom are the group, the main body of the assembly.
Andre Melle, your challenge.
Hesitation.
Hesitation. I agree, you get the subject back, and you have a point, of course. 21 seconds for witchcraft, Andre, starting now.
Vampires are a very important part of this particular subject. I was once a bride of Dracula, so I know quite a lot about it. You have to have a pair of fangs, which are fitted onto your eyepiece, a coffin. You're particularly frightened of the cross.
Clement Freud, why do you
have it? Of the cross. No, it's definitely there. No.
I'm going to be honest, do you think she hesitated?
No. Oh, with no grass in then. No.
Well, when it is so doubtful.
Between them all. Yeah, when it is. The sawdust pouring out of one of them up there. Maybe you can just put these dummies in. They prop them up in the back row.
No, I disagree. Andre has another point, and there are 4 seconds left for witchcraft, Andre, starting now.
If holy water is thrown in your face, your whole visage disintegrates into it.
Andre Melle was speaking then when the whistle went, so she gains an extra point, and she's creeping up a little. Clement, will you begin the next round, please? Filibustering. Can you talk to us about filibustering? For just a minute, starting now.
Filibustering is a political maneuver whereby one man talks for so long that having read the small print and being unable to be interrupted, he has the floor and speaks until such time as the close of whatever he is indulging.
Andre Melle, challenge.
Hesitation,
yes. So he was trying to filibuster there, but unsuccessfully. So Andre gains a point and takes over the subject. 42 seconds left, starting now.
This is something I believe that senators of the South...
Kenneth Williams got hesitation. His first hesitation. Kenneth, you gain a point and take over the subject of filibustering. 37 seconds left, starting now.
One of the most famous occasions was in the 19th century in our own House of Commons when the Prime Minister, who was called... Disraeli.
Clement Freud challenged. Yes, there was a slight hesitation. He was searching for his name.
I wasn't searching for his name. What are you talking about? About what he said. Overcome by the exuberance of his own verbosity. It's what Disraeli said. I knew that what I was going to say. Can't call that hesitation. She said an and you didn't even allow it. And you allowed this lot here who were arbitrary to say that you were hesitating. And to be grateful. I've hardly got words in on this program anyway. I've hardly spoken. First 5 minutes, I'm not even on.
I'm so upset now, Kenneth. I don't know what to do. You've struck. I'll ask the audience. He's had such an effect on me. I'm going to let you be the judge. I must say that I definitely thought there was a hesitation there, and I must say I want it all together because I definitely think there was a hesitation. But if you be the final judges, if you think there was a hesitation, will you cheer? If you don't think there was a hesitation, will you boo? And will you all do it together now? You don't think there was a hesitation. The boos came to the tears that he created in your eyes. Kenneth, they're on your side. You have another point, and you have 24 seconds left for filibustering starting now.
One is reminded of that great liberal statesman, Gladstone, when he said, I care as much for the spiritual welfare of the people on the slope.
Derek Nimmer, why have you challenged?
Well, he wasn't filibustering. He's just making a speech.
Ah, but you might...
The is to talk unnecessarily and prolong your speech for a long period.
Yes, no, but I don't think
you can... There were several interruptions during it.
Yes, and I do think...
You don't allow interruptions.
There were probably some political people of the time who said that when Gladstone was speaking that particular speech, he was what we now call filibustering. Have I made my point?
Yes.
Dennis Williams has a point, and he has 10 seconds to continue with filibustering starting now.
The thing to do is to make a point, and then so ornament it.
Derek Nimmo, why the challenge?
Repetition of point.
Yes, he has said point before. Derek Nimmo gains it, and he has 4 seconds to continue with filibustering starting now.
From the French word filibuster, which means freebooter.
Clement Freud, why do the challenge?
It isn't.
Deviation.
It's a French word meaning freebooter. It was a boat that was sent out to fight as a freelance against other countries, to work your own country's enemies.
Extremely interesting, Derek. You have another point in 2 seconds to continue with filibustering starting now.
One of the most famous of filibusters in our time.
At the end of that round, Derek Nimmo has a very definite lead over everybody else. Kenneth Williams, will you begin the next round? In fact, it's your turn to begin the next round, and the subject is Nell Gwynn. Can you tell us something about the lovely lady in 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, when the dreadful thing of regicide occurred, and we had the Great Rebellion, the king came back and, of course, was called...
Derek Nimmo, why is your chance?
Repetition, because if there had been regicide, he couldn't have come back. He was dead.
I said we had the dreadful regicide, and yeah.
then the king came back.
Then the great rebellion.
He was talking about regicide.
The king is dead, long live the king.
And the king came back.
Right.
No, I disagree with the challenge. Kenneth has a point, and there are 50 seconds left for Nell Gwynn, Kenneth, starting now.
Charles II, who was married to Catherine of Braganza, didn't seem to have seen very much of her, and she lived apart from the court. He took this mistress who was called Nell Gwynn, and sometimes... Sweet Nell of Old Drury, comical actress, and she sold oranges. Anyway, she did bear him these 2 children. What Catherine of Braganza thought of all this, nobody seems to know.
Repetition.
Yes.
But she's on the card.
Catherine of Braganza's not on the card.
She was on the card for him. It was on the card for him.
If you'd said that as a challenge, I'd have given you a point for win. But all that happens is that Clement Freud gets the point, and he takes over the subject of Nell Gwynn with 23 seconds left, starting now.
One now thinks rather lovingly about characters like Nell Gwynn.
Kenneth Williams, why do you challenge?
Because deviation, we don't think lovingly about Nell Gwynn at all.
Why not?
Rubbish, wasn't it?
Why shouldn't you think lovingly?
Because she was a dirty person. He won't sleep with people, other men's wives,
yes,
kids. Thoroughly immoral and disgraceful, ushered in a pleasure-loving reign such as would disgrace any country.
Disgrace. Yes, but even people who you can... Stop being so pompous in your decision, your opinions. But even some people you think are rather immoral or you disapprove of, often in retrospect look back rather lovingly, you know. And I therefore disagree with what you said and agree with the fact that Clement Freud has a point as he was speaking then, and he continues with Nell Gwynn, and there are 18 seconds left starting now.
And yet if you think about life in the 17th century with no personal hygiene, with no...
Kendrick, why do you challenge?
Deviation, life in the 17th century and no personal hygiene has nothing to do with the subject, which is Nell Gwynn.
Well, after what you just said, I would take an awful lot to do with it.
Having kids by other people's husbands has nothing to do with personal hygiene.
You use the word...
Why don't you shut up, Mr. Chairman?
No, I think, after what you said, the personal hygiene does come into this. You omitted it. I'll write the word you say about it being a dirty person. That was your very first word.
I meant immoral, dear, not filthy person.
Well, all right, you used the word dirty. Therefore, I disagree with your challenge. Clement Freud has another point, and there are 12 seconds left for Nell Gwynn, Clement, starting now.
Nell Gwynn, in a nutshell, was dead.
Well, I mean, it's deviation. She could never have been inside a nutshell.
Oh, let's get dirty in it. All right, he gets this time. He gets the bonus point for winning. But Clement Freud keeps the subject, and he wasn't actually deviating from the subject on the card, and he continues with 9 seconds left for Nell Gwynn starting now.
She was even improper outside such an encasement. She would not have brushed her teeth, seldom have changed her underwear.
Good morning. Well, I'm glad those two on that side of the stage got off Nell Gwynn before we got really into rather embarrassing waters. Well, at the end of that round, Clement Freud was speaking when the whistle went, so he gains an extra point. It's very interesting now because Kenneth has crept up dramatically. He's in third place behind the joint leaders at the present moment.
First place, big deal.
Right, Derek Nimmer, your turn to begin. Coup de grâce. Can you talk about that subject for 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, I was standing in Sefton Park in Liverpool, you see, and this fellow came up to me. He said, what are you standing there for? And I said, well, as a matter of fact, I don't know, really. And he said, why? I can't see your head at all because all the stuff's growing up all around about you. Why don't you coup de grâce? And I said, I will in a few minutes. If you go to a bull ring in Spain, when the matador delivers his final blow, he has a special sword, which is so constructed with a little hook over the top of it, and as he pulls it into the bull's neck, it severs the...
Clement Freud, why do you challenge?
Gravity's a bull.
Yes, that is perfectly right. I'm glad you challenged before we got any further into the bull's neck. It was, Clement, I agree with your challenge. You take over the subject. There are 34 seconds left for a coup de grâce, starting now.
This was delivered upon the premises of Mrs. Hebblewhite, landlady of 82 Blackpool Road, Morecambe Bay, Lancashire, by a villainous tenant who set fire to a mattress in the basement. As a result, the fire engines were called out.
Kenneth Williams, why did you challenge?
Engines of fire.
Well, he said far one. And far engines.
Yes, well, I said bull and bull ring.
Same thing.
No, a far engine is...
He said it's bull and bull.
Oh, that's right, that's what far engines are. Well, you're quite right, they're too far. That's right, because it's two words, isn't it? Therefore, I agree, Kenneth, you gain a point. And there are 16 seconds left for a coup de grâce starting now.
Well, roughly speaking, of course, it means the final.
Clement Freud's challenge, why?
Deviation.
Why?
Roughly speaking.
Yes.
We're trying to keep to a subject.
Yes, but he can speak roughly... without deviating from the subject, and he can keep going.
You've been very good, Chairman. You're very good, Chairman.
I'm always good when I'm giving the point.
No, I wouldn't want your job. I really wouldn't. I would find it difficult.
Anyway, Kenneth, you have another point, and you have 14 seconds left for a coup de grâce starting now.
The blow, so to speak, which settles the entire controversy and results in the adversary being banned.
Clement Freud, why is your challenge?
Bad word.
Adversary.
Yes. Adversary, I think.
Yes. Well, it sounded slightly different. We knew what you were saying, and you were keeping going under very difficult circumstances.
Thank you. You're a very good chairman.
You know there aren't many seconds left. You know it's very neck and neck. So you have another point with 3 seconds left, Kenneth, for a coup de grâce starting now.
And if you can so encapsulate your point...
Let me tell them something, because that is the end of the show. I got a note here which says,
no.
Wind up at the end of this subject.
No, that's pronounced wind.
I know. I thought I'd make a little joke. So I'm going to wind up now and tell you that I'm afraid that is all we have time for, and what, as Kenneth encapsulated his final point, he gave a very dramatic and sudden twist to the game. He was trailing in fourth place nearly all the way along. But now in fourth place, alas, is Andre Merry. And in third place is Derek Nimmo. And in first place, joint equals, Kenneth jumped into the lead alongside Clement Freud. And those are our two winners this week, Kenneth and Clement.
Oh,
and they both won by one encapsulated point only. That is all we have time for. We do hope you've enjoyed this particular edition of Just a Minute. And from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Simon Brett.